seated. So, what's up? Sunday morning. I was just thinking in between services, I'm just going to be real, y'all, real quick. Saturday used to be my day. I was sitting in there between services like, what would I used to be doing? Saturday used to be my day. Like, I got everything ready. I would do get off work Friday, and Saturday, boy, I'd have the cooler ready. I'd have the ice down, and I'd have the friends called and all the stuff. But now, after the Lord has forgiven me, and now after the Lord has fixed my marriage and the Lord has blessed me with these two boys, I can't wait for Sunday. Sunday is my day. Get your Bible, get the band, and let's worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if anybody else in here used to be a Saturday guy, and now you're a Sunday guy, just put your hands together for the Lord. Some of you like, I was a Saturday last night. Welcome. Hey, everybody that's watching online, we're glad that you're watching. We're glad that you're checking in. We're glad that you guys are here. I see my beautiful cousin down here and her ugly husband are coming all the way from Stephenville and their beautiful kids. Glad that they're here. So, hey, look, let's go. We're in Psalms 51. We've been in our series called Summer in Psalms. Today, we're going to be in 51. It's going to be verses 1 through 17, Psalms 51. We'll read it, unpack it, pray about it, and see what the Lord speaks to us. All right, Psalms 51, 1 through 17. Y'all ready? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for another full house at the 11 o'clock, God. I pray and believe today that the prayers that me and the staff have been praying, Lord, that today people would leave a little bit lighter, that people would understand today the true meaning of the blood of Jesus Christ, that they would see that no matter what they've done and no matter where they have been, that it has all been covered by the blood of Jesus. Lord, today we believe that today is a day of forgiveness, Lord, that you're going to work in places that you've never worked before, that hearts are going to be changed. People are going to be changed. And I pray, Lord, that you would move me out of the way and help me speak this message that you've given me. And everybody said, so really fast, let me just remind you that all of us in this room, none of us are exempt from falling into the trap of sin. None of us are exempt from it. It doesn't matter if you are 6 or 60. You are capable of falling into sin. Rich or poor, famous or nameless, sin is real, and the traps are set out those doors for each and every one of us. That being said, I want to remind you, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So do not beat yourself up every time that you fall and every time that you sin and every time that you hit a rough place, because today is a day of forgiveness. Today is a great day for you to be set free. This psalm that we just read together, this particular psalm is a forgiveness prayer after King David fell to sexual sin. Sexual sin is something that is rising, something that has always been an issue from King David to 2026, something that is rising amongst our phones, rising amongst our kids, rising amongst our churches, and everywhere that we look. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. But I want to remind you, before this event, King David had a legendary record. He had a legendary record. King David was the guy. I was listening to Joby Martin this week, and he said, be careful, preachers, be careful, leaders, because after your greatest victory, there might be your greatest fall. We need to pay attention to where we're going and what we're doing and what we're looking at. He rose from a humble shepherd boy to a king. He was defined by military brilliance. He had deep faith, and he was a great example of a loyal man to Jesus Christ. He defeated many armies. He brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. He was a man after God's own heart. Things were going David's way, and then he soon found himself in a place that he should not have been. How many of you know when we find ourselves in a place where we should not have been is there we find trouble? It is where we find trouble. It's like Cody talked about last week. We learn from the Holy Spirit, the discernment between our mind and our gut. Should I go there? Should I be here? Should I call? Should I text? Should I do this? And then we say no to the Holy Spirit. We say no to the discernment, and we find ourselves where we should never have been. This week, you can read, for time's sake, 2 Samuel chapter 11. It happened late one afternoon. It happened when he arose from his couch. I love that we're talking about David should not have been where he was, because the very first verse says it was the spring of the year when kings go out to war. David was the king. David should have been out at war. David should have gone with them. For some reason, David stayed behind. He was not where he was supposed to be. He looks down. He gets off of his lazy butt and gets off of that couch and walks out. And he's looking over the city, and he sees Bathsheba down there, and she's bathing. And instead of having his discernment speak to him and saying, you know what? I seen that, but I'm going to turn from that, and I'm going to go pray, or I'm going to go find my buddies or whatever that looked like. He looks down. He sent for her. He laid with her while her husband was at war, and she becomes pregnant. The trouble started when David found himself in a place he should not have been. David should have been at the battlefield with Bathsheba's husband. First, I want you to see that he saw it, then he thought it, and then he sought it. He saw it with his eyes, and then he thought about it, and then he sought for it. Kids, can I just say, you young people that are here today that have a phone and have idle time and have all of these resources, be careful what you let your eyes see. Be careful where you let your eyes go, because whatever you get in the habit of, and wherever you think this is just one time or this is just another time, whatever you get in the habit of at your young age right now will carry on with you, and your body and your flesh will want more of it, and you will begin to look again and again and again, and you will be so far down the traps of the enemy that you will not know how to get back out of it. Old people, where you at, you old people? Watch out where your eyes look. Look out what you're looking at on your phone. Watch out where you're looking. Watch out what you're looking at. Single people, married people, it's important that we guard our eyes and we guard our hearts and we guard our mind and our ears and our children's ears. If you're listening to jacked up Lil Wayne and all them other fools on your phone, it's going inside of your kids' ears and into their heart. And the Bible says what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. What are we listening to? What are we looking at? What are we doing? David should have been at the battlefield. Young people, listen to that, please. Remind yourself of that. Idle time is where danger started with David. You need to keep yourself busy. You need to work. Have a job. Don't be idling around. Don't be sitting around. Then his eyes saw it. His thoughts thought it. And then the action took place. It's how it works. It's how the enemy gets us. And to make it worse, the woman that he slept with, her husband was one of David's mighty men. David has some mighty men. You can read about it in your Bible. They were elite force. There were 37 of them. They were strong warriors. They had each other's back. They went to the battlefield together. They loved each other. They knew each other. They had to have known each other's wives. They did life together. I'll just say all that to say that sexual sin is dangerous, and it will make us step into traps that we never intended us for ourselves to trip. It will take you there. It will take us down roads we've never seen. So he sees her. He seeks her, lays with her. She becomes pregnant, and he thinks he can cover it up. He calls for him on the battlefield. Hey, get Uriah, send him to me. He says, Uriah, man, you've been out at war. Woo, good job, Bubba, glad you're out there. Now go wash your feet and stay with your wife and eat. And he says, no, sir, I stand for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My family and my people that I fight with are out there at the battlefield. I'm not gonna stand up here and go lay with my wife and be lazy and be no good. I'm gonna stand for the fight. And he says, okay, well, he doesn't go. And then he tries it again. And then he gets him drunk and he does all of these things. And nothing works because Uriah is sold out for the Lord. We need some more men to be like Uriah and be sold out for the team that he's on and be sold out for the men and women that he's seeking after and the things that he's fighting for. So then David, he writes this letter. This is how the enemy works, one sin after another. David writes this letter and he hands it to Uriah. And the letter says, take this to the leader. He sends it to him. It says, hey, stick Uriah up at the forefront. Stick him up there where the hardest fighting is, and then pull back from him so that he will be killed. This is exactly what the world is trying to do and the enemy is trying to do to you and me in 2026. one sin after another, iPhones and iPads and TikToks and kids and Facebook and Instagram. And even though they are the worst phone ever, you Android people can get in a jam too. Just saying. One sin after another, it's how it goes, man. We think nothing's going on. We think it's okay, you know, where I'm going, you and I have to pay attention. We have to be on guard. We have to be on guard against temptation. We have to be watchful of where and when we spend our time physically. But listen, also where we spend it mentally. The Bible says what a man thinks is so he is. Where are you spending your time mentally? What are you thinking about? Who are you thinking about? What are you envisioning? What are you seeing? We got to guard our mind and guard what's going on, especially on the subject of sexual temptation. The Bible says flee. Somebody say flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Be on guard. Stand firm. Pay attention. Be on guard. That's a military term. When the warriors are together and somebody has to stand guard, when they say, hey, you're up on guard, the rest of the team, the rest of the troop is saying, I trust that you're going to stay awake. I trust that you're going to have a head on the swivel. I trust that you're going to look for the enemy. I trust that you're going to pray for my family. I trust that you're going to do these things. You and I have to realize that it is serious of a father and a mother or whoever you are in your family to be on guard at all times. Guard over your wife. Guard over your daughters. Guard over the young men in your home and guard over yourself. Stand guard. Pay attention. People say to us all the time, they come in here and they're struggling and we have a meeting with them and they're doing good for a while and we pray for them and they're on fire. They come back and they're like, man, I did it again. I went back over there and I bought another sack. I went back over there and I got some drunk again. I did all that. I got another DW. I got all this stuff. And they're like, man, the temptation is just too big. It's just too... Wrong. With every temptation, the Bible says that the Lord is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Can I just tell you, I remember times as I look back on my life and I read that thing, I think about times when there was a pickup that did leave before the party got stupid. There was someone leaving that I could have went with. There was a phone call I could have made to my mother who's sitting down here. There was something that I could have done. There was always an escape route that could I, well, I'm not staying the night with her. We are not married. I'm not going to stay over here with her at her dorm. I'm in college. Nobody knows. My parents don't know. You got to understand. Understand that you got to guard your heart, whether you're married, single, or all of the above. Pay attention and guard your heart. Be on guard. Have your head on a swivel. There's always an escape route, and it's up to you and me to find it. The Bible tells us that our hearts are jacked up. We all have jacked up hearts, and we need to be on guard. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, everybody say all, and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all failed. We're all going to continue to, but we need to get a little bit better, and the sins need to become a little bit less, and we need to get a little bit stronger in God as we go along. So if all of us are, if none of us are above sin, and all of us have sick hearts, and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, how do we get back right with God? A holy God, a God that died for us. How do we get back right with him? How do we get right with him? I would say this. The first thing that we need to do is we need to go to God. Go to God. Stop going to Facebook. Stop going to your friends. Stop going. Go to God. Because just in case you forgot like I used to forget, he already knows anyways. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I'm doing. He knows where I fail. The enemy knows. I know where I failed. And God knows where I failed. They know, he knows. Matthew 6:8 says, do not be like them, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows. But he commands us to have this relationship with him, to bring these things to him. I have Hayes down here on the front row. He's 6 years old, and Marley and I tell him all the time, hey, if you fall short, if you fail, if you lie, if you do something wrong, it would be better for you to come tell me or your mom than me to have to find out through somebody else or all the water that's out on the ground for the thing that you didn't turn off. Just be real. And I think we need to instill that in our kids. Like, come tell me, son, because you know what? They're not perfect. Our kids are not perfect, and neither are us as parents, but we got to teach them, hey, look, I am your father. The Lord entrusted me. The Bible says that you are a gift from God, that you have been given to me and Marley, and it is up to us to raise you and your kids, to, for you to raise them, but we got to set a place for them to be comfortable to come and say, hey, look, I failed. Hey, look, I lied. Hey, we just need to be that way, and it's the same way with our Father in heaven as adults. We have to take our mess to God just like David took his mess to God. It's the only way that you and I can be free. It's the only way that we can live and be all that we've called to be. So let's look. How do we do it? Let's look what David did. Let's go back over the verses. In verses 1 and 2, David is pleading with God. He's tired of carrying it. He's tired of carrying the load. He's done all he can do. He doesn't want to fall into another trap. He's fell into too many traps, and he just begins to get it out. How many of you know we need to get it out? Don't be packing it in. Don't be pushing it down. Get it out. Get it out. And you know, I'm not saying go tell everybody, go Facebook it, go, hey, if you want somebody, you know, people are fickle and people will tell your stuff and people will take them to somebody else no matter what they tell you. But if you fall down on your knees and you give it to God, it will go nowhere else except between you and God. He says, have mercy on me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He's just saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I want to make it right. God, I'm so sorry. He's just talking to God in his own way. Can I tell you? God knows your voice. God hears you. God knows when you pray. God is out for you. Psalms 34, 17 through 18. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all of their troubles. 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder if there's anybody here today with a crushed spirit. I wonder if you have a crushed spirit. I just want to remind you, there's a rescue mission out for you. Coming from Jesus, coming from the blood, coming from the King of all kings, it says, he will rescue those whose spirits are crushed. He goes on in verse 3 and 4, he says he just admits things to God. He admits things with his mouth. How many of you know there's power in admitting when you're wrong? There's power in it. I remember when Marley and I, man, we had our encounter with the Lord and we'd been through all the things that we'd been through for so many years. When we came back together, admitting things, this is where I failed. She said, this is where I failed. And when we did that, I remember a heavy weight was lifted off immediately and we felt like we were one again. We were one the way that the Bible said that marriages should be. Can I just tell you, admit things to your spouse. Be all that you can be. It is the only marriage that you're going to have on this side of heaven. You need to be all that you can be with your spouse. Admit things to your kids. Son, I'm sorry I lost it on you. Son, I'm sorry I said that. Son, I love you. Son, you are good. All of these things, just start admitting when we fail. It will set you free. It will make you feel better. Create in me a clean heart, he says. Just create in me a clean heart. Renew my spirit. He's asking for things that he knows he needs. David is trying to make things right with God. We worry so much about making things right with people. But I wonder if we have the same weight on trying to make things right with God. Because, see, we don't always see him physically, and we don't always feel him physically, and he's not always in the truck, and he's not always at the work, and he's not around those people, and we're like, walk on tippy toes, and we're worried about their feelings, we're worried about what they think, we're worried all about this stuff, and we're just trying to make it right with them, and I just feel like sometimes the Lord's looking at me saying, hey, Cole, you worried about them, but what about me, son? Let's get right with God. He's seeking a clean heart. We need clean hearts. For you and I to spread the gospel with passion and persistence, we have to have a right spirit within us. You and I are called to shine the light. We're called to shine the light in this world, but we can't shine the light if we're not all in for Christ. I remember when I was about 12 or 13, Cody was preaching over here in the old building. He said when he was a kid, they had these cubicles that you could have a payphone. You could talk on the phone. I ain't never seen one. Some of y'all might have. Somebody said, stop it. But he said this guy, it was dark outside and the street lamps were shining and he put this phone to his ear and he pulled it off, had some gum on it. Got the gum off, put the thing back on. Just kidding, he didn't say that. But he had the phone book in his hand and he's stepping outside and he's holding the door with his elbow and he's got the phone on his ear and he's trying to do the thing. He's trying to open, he's trying to look at the number on the phone book and he's trying to use the light. And this little old lady walks by and says, son, if you'll just step all the way in that cubicle and shut that door, the light will shine down. and you can do everything and be everything that you need to be. That is the same way with your walk with Christ and my walk with Christ. If we will step all the way in and just realize, you know what, Lord? I know that you know I'm a sinner. I know that you know I failed. I know that you know I have a past. But today, God, I just want to be right with you. I just want a clean heart with you. And when we do that, the light shines down on you and you open your word and you begin to be forgiven and you begin to help others around you and God begins to work in your life and these blessings become bestowed upon you and you don't even understand and you don't know where they come from, all because you chose to get all in and the light shined down on you. So now you're going to go shine the light. Just shine the light. We got to deal with our sin so that we can be shining the light. We got to go to God. We got to forgive, ask him for forgiveness, and just fall down on our knees, communicate with our Father in heaven. And this is something the Lord gave me a couple of days ago that I didn't have this in here, but we got to lay aside our pride. Pride, it's a killer. Pride. It's mostly us men, but there's some of you prideful women too, Cody talked about last week. Pride. Get rid of it. Well, I know where Cole used to live and what he used to do, and I know about Cody too when he did. It's not about Cole and Cody or any other preacher. It's about your walk with Christ. It's about him calling you to be a father and calling you to be a husband, and he's given you this role to raise up a family of the next generation to be better than your father and to be better than his father. God is calling you, and when you ignore the conviction and when you feel like you want to come to the altar and you want to lay it down, but you don't want nobody to know that you're laying pride aside, you're missing out because God is wanting to shine the light on you, but your pride is keeping you from the light. Get rid of the pride. Every day you got to do it. I have to do it all the time. It's a reminder, reminder, reminder. Renew your mind. Ask God to use you. God, mold me. God, protect me as I serve you, Lord. We just got to get real with God and shut out the noise. Shut out the noise. Verse 12, uphold me with a willing spirit. Bethel, we got to have willing spirits to connect people to God. That's our vision. Connect, cultivate, and carry on. Connect to God. Cultivate the word inside of us and carry the word on. Connect people to God. We have to have a right spirit. When I think about that, I think about the ladies in the coffee bar and I think about the people upstairs and I think about old gray-haired Mark right back there yawning right now. They have willing spirits. They have willing hearts. They get up here early. They're not getting paid. They're not getting anything, but except that's an attaboy. I appreciate you. We love you. They have willing spirits because they're spending time with God trying to shine the light into a dark world. We got to have a right heart. People who are drowning, man. There's people who are drowning outside of these walls right now in their sin, and they have nowhere to go, and their destination is hell, and they've never heard the gospel, and they've never heard the blood, and they don't understand what they can do with it, and they're dragging it around. You and I know where to go, but they don't, but it's you and I. It's for us to go teach them. It's for us to go help them, to tell them where the help is. Verse 13, David says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." It's up to us. When we are forgiven and forward motion begins again, David's telling God, I'll go help the next man that's dealing with sexual sin. Lord, when you forgive me, I'll go help him. Lord, when you fix my marriage with Marley, we will go help the next people who are struggling in their marriage. God, whatever you're walking through, whatever you've been through, the Lord will use you to help the next person. You and I can be used. You and I can be used to help the next person who is struggling. And all we got to have on our minds is just to love God and love others. Man, the forgiveness is real. The blood is real. Then if I just begin to speak about it, if I just begin to speak about God. You know what? All I see on when I get on the Facebook is these young kids. I told them that y'all better help me. Look at them. Red face. One of them's scared. He's the boy. The girls are ready. But all I see is these kids running around. We got these parents and these adults who've been saved and set free, and they've got these kids that they're raising, and they can ride and they can rope and they can play basketball, these healthy blessings running around. And we got parents who are grippy at their job and grippy here and grippy there. And I see these kids walking around singing that Forrest Frank song. God is good all the time. If he ain't, then you're lying in the rain, in the shine. God is good all the time. Y'all failed. I mean, really? Like, it's something we should be excited about. We're excited to tell everybody that we had a baby that came from God. We're excited to tell them that we won the ranch rodeo. We're going to Amarillo from God. All of these things we get excited about and we talk about and we let our mouths open. But what about singing out loud to the God that saved us, the God that gave us these kids, the God that fixed our marriage? God is working and none of us are talking about it. It just makes us free, man. It makes us free and ready to serve. So how does God really know that we're serious? How does he know that we're ready? How does he know that he can trust our word, that we can pray, and that he does see a change in us? How does he know when we're ready to make a change? Verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. A broken spirit, a broken heart. What does that even mean? It means this: God values sincere humility and genuine repentance over outward religious rituals or traditional animal sacrifices. Even when you and I feel like we've went too far, when we feel like we've messed it up too bad, when we've opened our mouth too much, been there. God can work, and God will forgive you, and God will work where you cannot work. This is exactly the condition he needs, is your broken heart and your genuine sorry. Connor, if you guys will come, I'll try to wrap it up. When we approach God in this way, it's exactly the condition he requires to be able to heal you, to restore you, and to forgive you. If you're a note taker, write this down today. This is something that you and I need to remind ourselves of every day this week. Jesus came for sinners, Jesus died for sinners, and Jesus lives to say to us sinners, your sins have been forgiven, go in peace. Yeah, so I was thinking about, it's kind of weird, but whatever, y'all take showers too, I hope, some of you do. But I was in the shower, and I was just thinking about today's message, and I was just thinking about the cross. You know, we read the story, and we think about the blood and all of the things, but can you just, I was just thinking about Jesus, his wrists and his hands and his feet, like they weren't like little old drywall nails. And can you just imagine the ones that came and took him off the cross? They didn't just walk up there and pluck them out. I mean, they had to probably bear down. And the blood is flowing and the nails are stained and it's all over their arms and their hands. Don't you know they had a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Don't you know they were sad? Don't you know? Can you just think about that? We think about the cross and we think about Jesus dying for us many, many years ago, but do we ever really think about maybe what it really looked like? And then to take it a little further, it was for you. It was for me. It was for each and every one of us in here. He did it for us. But we get to running and gunning and we don't get to pay attention to where God is working and what God is doing and the blessings in our life, and we forget the power of the blood. Man, so for those of you today that are here carrying a heavy debt, that are carrying a heavy sin, you're feeling unworthy, you're feeling unfixed. Look, I've been there. Many people in this room have been there. Remind yourself, Jesus is the Savior who canceled those debts, who canceled your past, who canceled my past, who cancels the sins, the awful sins, the seemingly unforgivable sins. It was his blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. None. When Jesus took the cross, the blood was shed for your sins and mine. So what do we need to do? Look, if your heart's broken, you're heavy, like, be excited right now. Because that is exactly where God wanted you to be today, so that you can be set free, because he's got plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you. He has plans for your family and plans for your children. But he doesn't want you and I to be carrying burdens that we were never meant to carry. We got to cry out. We got to let him know. He already knows. So what's keeping us? What's keeping you? Stop carrying it. Communicate it to your Father in heaven. Stop communicating it to other people who are fickle and people who will not help you and they don't have the best interest for you, but they listen and they don't listen. Like Cody said with Shema, they don't listen. Take it to God. Take it to him. As we close, let's all stand together. Let's kill those lights and let's just think about the blood of Jesus. Think about the cross. Take that picture and put it in your mind. It was not pretty, but it was for you. Cody taught us about praying over scripture. Him and Jennifer putting their boys' names in scripture and praying. So before I get down, I'm going to pray this psalm over each and every one of us, each and every one of us as a family, as a unit for Christ right here at Bethel. And as I pray, these altars are going to be open. And if you want to come down while I'm praying this psalm, come down. If you want to wait till after we pray the psalm and it just be between you and the Lord, come then. The altars will be open after I get through praying. But look, I'm not going to stand up here today and pray over you and pray this big thing over you. Today is between you and God. We've ran everywhere else. We've been everywhere else. But look, God wants you to have life and life abundantly. Don't walk out the doors today with the same weight that you walked in. He can forgive you. He wants to. He went, he came and died so that you could be forgiven, so that I could be free and you could be free. And remember, we all in here have fallen short of the glory of God. Do not let pride stop you, man of God. Don't let pride stop you, woman of God. And don't let those behind you who don't come, they either have pride in them or they've already been with the Lord. They've already gave it to the Lord. But today, if the Lord's convicting you and the Lord is moving on your heart and the Lord is telling you, look, man, I got plans to prosper you and use you, but you got to get this right. You got to lay it down. Stop carrying it. I sent my son to die for you for today. Come and get rid of it today. Don't leave here without being set free. Receive the gift today that you and I did not deserve. So, Father, we pray just like David prayed. God, that you just have mercy on us, that you would blot out our transgressions and our failures. God, that you would wash us thoroughly from our sin, that you would cleanse us, God. Cleanse us on the outside. Against you, Lord, we've sinned. Purge us, Lord. Wash us so that we will be whiter than snow again, so that we can have a clean slate, Lord, to go do what you've called us to do. Let us hear joy and gladness. Lord, don't hide your face from us, Lord, but hide your face from our sin. Blot out our iniquities. Deliver us, oh God. Create a clean heart in us. Deliver us. Lord, renew a right spirit within us, inside of us. Cast us not away from you, Lord, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us, but instead fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us a new feeling so that we can go and we can work for the kingdom of God. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Uphold us with a willing spirit. We promise, God, that when you work on our behalf, that we will teach others who are struggling, and we will teach them your ways, and we will tell them about what you've done in our life. And we believe, God, that those sinners will come back and return to you. Our tongues will sing aloud of your righteousness, Lord. At our work, at our home, at wherever we go, God, we just will sing aloud these silly songs, Lord, that are singing praise about you. Our tongues will sing aloud of your righteousness, Lord. Open our lips and our mouth, and we will declare your praise, God. I pray that you would work, Lord. Please work. Holy Spirit, nudge these that are worried about coming. Nudge these that have been holding it in. Nudge them, Lord. Woo them to you. Your word says that you will woo them to you, God, that you will work on their behalf, that you will work when we can't work, Lord. Let it not be about their neighbor right now or who's sitting next to them or who they came with, but, God, about the relationship with you, that if something happens today to them and they stand in front of you tomorrow, that they would know inside of their heart that I got it right with God. I got it right with God. That day at Bethel, when they sang and they preached about the blood of Christ, I went up there and I gave it right. I gave it to God. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that you would just let them all bring it to the feet of Jesus. As they come, I pray that you guys would just remember the blood is the only thing that could tear the veil and the only thing that could empty hell. Only the blood. Lord, speak to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altars are open. You guys, come.